Welcome to Beer for Breakfast. Thank you for joining us for another one of these special podcasts where we have not one, not two, but three different beers to enjoy today, Mahoney. We are joined once again by Audrey.
Hello. So
thank you for sitting in and enjoying beer with us.
Yeah, we've got a very special show today, Dave, especially because we've got a beer from our friends in the Dirty Heads. You might remember them. They've got a big song on the radio right now. It was huge over the summer called Vacation. And that's right. And they have a beer. It's a session ale brewed with pineapple. So that will be the first beer that we are doing today. Also, we've got a couple seasonal selections from our friends at Modern Times. It wouldn't be a beer for breakfast unless we were doing some Modern Times beers as well. So let's get right into the beers, Dave. Let's crack open these Dirty Heads Vacation Session Ales.
Pretty sure. Is that not the album art?
I believe so. Oh, man, that has a lot of head on that.
Are you a big Dirty Heads fan, Audrey?
I do like them, actually. Yeah. That's why I thought that that is it, right?
That's it, yeah. That's it. Good eye. Good eye.
Good eye.
Good day.
Good eye.
Good day. So this is a session IPA, 5% alcohol by volume, brewed with pineapple. I mean, you could already smell that. It smells, there's a big whiff of pineapple juice in there.
Maybe it's just because my wife had our second baby, but this smells like a baby's ass to me. I mean that in a nice way.
Is that a compliment?
Yes, like baby butt smells fine.
Does it? Yeah. Okay, I don't know.
It smells like pineapple IPA.
It smells like pineapple IPA baby butt.
It's driving you to drink.
I don't know. I don't know if any of the tasting notes I've looked at online say baby's ass.
Baby's ass?
None of them say that, but that could be something that we
I'm pretty sure if you put baby ass on the internet, like you get flagged and like Chris Harrison or whatever his name is shows up. Not Chris Harrison. Chris Hansen. Chris Harrison's the guy from The Bachelor.
He shows up. It's really weird.
Why do you have a rose? What's going on here?
Here's some cookies.
I'm so confused, but I'll have a seat.
But yeah, looking at this beer, very clear, lots of carbonation, a lot of like fluffy, just like effervescent head on that as well. But
the carbonation, I don't know if it's the same for yours, but it's like coming right from the center bottom and just like
well,
a little.
If I'm not sure on your particular glass, but there's
geyser.
There are a lot of glasses that will have like etchings in there that will intentionally do that to push it up through the center to help.
This beer glass has a little beer nipple. You see that? Maybe it's designed for that reason.
Possibly.
Maybe so.
But let's all take a drink. It's been a hard fought week.
And, yes.
We deserve to treat ourselves.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Treat.
There we go. Smell it. I love the smell of that. And now you're making me feel.
Was I not supposed to drink? We were supposed to drink, right?
No, yeah, we were. Okay, yeah.
You're still on the smell, and I'm over here just like chugging
it. I literally just kept it in my mouth. I was like, oh, I'm
not gonna swallow. Oh, wow. That doesn't.
I feel like
even,
there's a joke we could make there. We'll just move right on. All right.
Thank you.
That doesn't even feel like beer.
It is exceptionally light.
Like, I mean, this probably the, as we go into the winter months, not the a beer that you would probably think of right off the top of your head, but for the summertime, the Dirty Heads need to just roll this out.
Like, yeah.
This is a perfect summertime. I mean, not that it's bad when it's cooling down either, because it's a very delicious, full-flavored beer.
No, but having like a 12-pack of this on the boat, like when you're out of the lake or something, it would be just the best.
Is it called? It's Vacation?
It is called Vacation. Yeah,
well, makes sense.
Yeah. It's very easy to drink. But one interesting note about this, because I read the little thing that came, because they sent some of this out to the radio group, is that the band really had a huge impact on the flavor, the style, just the overall taste of this beer. You know, the guy, behind the beer, what brewery is it from?
Four Sons. Which is out of Huntington Beach.
He said, they do a decent amount of collaborations, and lots of bands do this sort of thing now.
Deftones have their own.
And he said, sometimes the band's just like, yeah, whatever you think, because you're the beer guy. He said the Dirty Heads were, like, involved from the beginning all the way up until it ended up in these cans.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This tastes like the Dirty Heads.
Yeah, okay.
Go on.
Is there something you should tell us?
No, it's just very refreshing. Tastes like summer.
Mahoney spent about 45 minutes on the tour bus last time they were in town. So
he knows that.
He knows the taste of the Dirty Heads.
Tastes like the Dirty Heads. With a band with the name Dirty Heads, this is very clean beer as well. I would say if I was thinking of a beer, that would be a good representation of what that band is, I think they have nailed it spot on. I haven't tried any of the other stuff from the Four Sons Brewing out of Huntington Beach before, but this is pretty damn phenomenal.
It's good, man. Yeah. Well done, Dirty Heads. Again, Vacation. It is a session ale brewed with pineapple. 5% alcohol by volume. So it's not, you know, it's very, very sessionable beer as you would expect.
Well, it's a session ale.
It's called a session ale. Yeah. But, you know, the sort of thing that you can crush.
I want to just sit around all day for the next, like, or, you know, next week or so and just drink this beer and play video games.
Okay. Oh.
That's all I want. That's all I want to do.
Yeah.
Though my fiance probably,
She would frown upon such?
She'd probably leave me at that point.
Yeah.
I would imagine. You know, I've been playing a lot of Red Dead Redemption 2.
Do you like it?
Do I like it? Oh, yes.
Are you obsessed with it?
You just perked up.
Like, are you a Red Dead Redemption 2 fan as well?
No. Oh. My Andrew is a major gamer, and he's, like, trying to determine whether or not he wants to do a new Call of Duty or Red Dead, and we're trying to, like, go through this whole situation. So
I saw you post something on social the other night where it was like the back of his head while he was playing video games with headphones
on.
And you were like, this is my life right now.
It's like all the time.
Are you cool with him playing as much as he does? And can you quantify exactly how much that is?
Oh my God. I think he has got like almost like 200 wins on Fortnite, solo wins. And it's insane. And that's
how long,
like,
does it take to get a win?
Well, it will he's just really stupid good at video games for like no real reason. And the other day we had a serious talk and he said, okay, you play video games so damn much. Can you, like, start making us some money from it? Like,
can you join, like, one of the esports teams or something?
Start,
like,
streaming.
Get sponsored.
Get on Twitch, dude. Yeah. Like, I mean, seriously, I was like, you do this so much, and you're pretty good at it. Like, and I just would like you to, like, have something come
out
of it.
What do you do while he's playing these video games?
Oh, I, like, watch, I don't know, disgustingly amount. Like, I just binge watch, like, Netflix downstairs or something or go work out. But he works out, too. But it's just... That's his thing. That's like how he decompresses.
Most girls that I know, just in general, and I think that's probably the only thing that attracted my wife to me, is that I'm just not a gamer.
Like, I've never. What was the last game you played? Like GoldenEye on?
No, when you and I played Mario Kart, and I beat your ass in Mario Kart.
I don't think we've played any games since. I whooped your ass in Street Fighter 2 as well. NHL Hockey 94.
I beat you with Blanca.
No, you did not.
I said you choose my character. And you chose Blanca for me, and I electrocuted your ass straight to hell.
No, that is a lie, my friend.
I'm not a gamer, but the point is that most women that I know that aren't into games themselves, because some people like make it a couple thing, right?
Sure.
But not you.
No, it's just because I am a really bad, like, sore loser when it comes to that kind of stuff, and I used to be really good at video games when I was a kid. Like I had like the PlayStation. And I played video games with my dad's, actually. Like,
okay.
That was like a thing. Like, when I'd go visit my dad and wherever he was living at the time, I'd be like, yeah, let's go play video games.
Uh-huh.
So I like them, but it's not like you just pick it up and you're just like good again. Like, you gotta practice to
especially with the new games.
They're complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were like a badass at Mario Kart and Street Fighter 2, like myself, you know, trying to sit down and play Fortnite is just two totally different worlds.
Well, here's the thing. They have made it now to where you can play on a laptop and you can be playing on any of your consoles, and they are now one game. You know who's playing Fortnite on a laptop because they can build and do things like in a 1 second flat, and you can't do that on your sticks.
Yeah.
So it's just not fair. It's just not fair.
Why hasn't he moved over to a laptop then?
Because there's just like a certain kind of nerd level on a laptop game.
Is there? Really?
Mahoney's a PC.
Tell me what you do. Yeah. Tell me what you do.
Is there now?
You World of Warcrafter?
No, I actually beta tested the World of Warcraft. I mean, going back to like 2002, 2003, I had a friend who worked for Blizzard Entertainment many years ago.
They said, you're a beta. Why don't you test this?
Oh, is that what they said?
It was actually just a test. Just got called a beta test after you did it.
Okay. Because I was testing it. It was a beta. I see.
Oh, I'm so intrigued. Okay, so tell me what games do you play on, what is it, like League of Legends?
No, I don't play multiplayer games anymore. Like none of that garbage. But I've given up because I feel like the internet, like what we see on Facebook is god awful, and what we see on Twitter is terrible, but it's still
a step down from video games.
No, it's still a step. That's still a step over video
well,
games.
That's
video
what I mean,
games
yeah.
are the absolute lowest of the low as far
the
as...
the pinnacle of terribleness
oh,
is
okay,
at the top
okay.
of the hill with video
I
games.
I got you.
Yes,
you
yeah.
We were going the same way.
Yeah,
just, you know...
Different sides of the mountain.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't want to be yelled at by an 11-year-old who's telling me that he banged my mom and, you
I
know...
banged your mom!
Yeah, I'm cool. I don't need to get any interaction.
Good for you, Mom. All right. Well, no, I guess that's
an 18-year-old.
If it was an 18-year-old.
But, you know, I don't need to feel... I don't want to talk to other people on the internet because I feel like, you know, back when I was gaming on the internet, it was only nerds. It was like really, really nerds and really, really pervy people.
Yeah.
And that was like in the early 90s. And I wish the internet would go back to that. It's the internet became a much worse place when grandma got online.
I agree.
100%. Like grandma, your mom, your dog, all of them online have ruined the internet.
I agree.
It is.
That's why I want Facebook to go down.
I think there's a possibility that
it may.
I
hate Facebook, yo. So, it's so awful.
I was playing Red Dead Redemption 2, which, I mean, this game sold almost, I mean, I don't know if you looked at some of the sales figures, Dave. It had almost $1 billion in sales in the first 7 days.
Wow.
A billion.
That's funny. It's because you think about, you know, when big movies come out and if they do, you know, $50 million in the opening weekend, what a massive success it is. And then if they go on to do $300 million globally, it's considered a huge hit.
Yeah.
And how there's these A-list stars. And then you think about how video games, like you said, will do $1 billion in a couple of days.
Yeah.
It's just, it's insane.
It's not a niche category anymore. There's a lot of money that's to be made there. But I was playing this the other night, and my fiance, she was working out. And when she works out, I'm usually either doing some work or I'm playing video games. And I, you know, since I just got a new game, I'm very much into it. So I'm playing it, and I didn't realize that she had gotten done working out and, like, went and showered and had texted me, like, hey, you know, I'm done working out. And then just, like, went to bed.
Just because you never came up to join her.
Well, no, you know, it's a very immersive video game. You know, you get very much into the character. It's a very very interactive world. But
so it's like one of the POV type of games, or
no? But it's the story is so engaging, and there's so much that you can do.
Is it scary?
No, not at all. It's almost like a Wild West simulator. That there's like boring menial tasks that you do, like chores and. But actually kind of give it, you know, a lot of texture, and it gives it a kind of you get immersed in it.
You get layers.
Yeah.
It's more complex of a story.
Are you in love? You can say you're in love.
I love the game.
I saw that you could pet a dog for like 45 minutes.
Oh, you could pet a dog. You could talk shit to people. You could do, it's like whatever you can think of, you can pretty much do it in there.
So is it like GTA but Wild Western?
It's made by the same people who make Grand Theft Auto. So, but this is their latest incarnation, the most up-to-date technology. There's 500,000 lines of dialogue in this game.
Wow.
Like, unbelievable. And they don't use any like famous actors, which I kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
It's all just voice actors who are very good at their craft, because they don't want you to like, oh, that's Bill Murray's voice, or that's Viggo Mortensen.
You don't
want to
get distracted by it. Yeah.
But my fiance is not, she's not too happy with me in all the video games that I've been playing, but I feel like I could be doing something worse. Like I could be out at the bar, or I could be at the strip club, or I could be at the club, be at Hakkasan. But I feel like if this is a good way, this is like I'm at home playing a video game by myself.
There is zero chance that you would ever be out at Hakkasan.
You don't know.
I do know.
You don't know my life.
You and I have been fast friends for 15 years.
But
I have never seen you at a club.
I could be out there.
You could be.
I could be. That's what I'm saying. I could be.
Dazzle your next Tommy Bahama and get out there.
That's right.
Sequins everywhere.
Tommy Bahama. See, the problem is Tommy Bahama shirts are becoming hipster. The hipsters are co-opting Tommy Bahama.
Do you think that's because of
you?
I think I may have played a part in that. What do you think I should? What do you think I should do to ease some of the tension with my fiance because of my video game playing lately?
Okay, so here's the thing that in our house we are currently battling too on a day to day, and it's never ending.
Uh-huh.
Just show us some damn attention. Like I'm just like,
but
I'm
how
like,
much attention? Because that video game is calling my name. Yeah, how much attention do you need a day?
Oh, I need like constant. No, really? I'm just kidding. No, I'm not that bad. But
what if
like,
he just gets one of those laser things?
Yes.
Like, can you play in the corner? Like, is that enough?
Play by myself, per usual. No, I literally like. I think that the way that you can ease it is while she's doing things, like you were saying, just that one time you got a little distracted, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's a new game.
Maybe it's shiny.
Yeah, it's new. It would be like if she got a new workout something, she'd probably want to be like actively.
She actually has workout VHS tapes.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
VHS.
Does she use them?
Oh, yeah.
What?
We've got a VCR in our workout room.
Do you have a separate rewinder?
Yes.
You
yes,
really?
We do. Yeah, because the VCR is old. Obviously, you know, it's like, where are you buying?
Why
a new
does
VCR?
She have them? Are they like Richard Simmons collectors?
No,
or something?
But they're like the original. What's that? Jillian Michaels.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like
yeah.
Bob Harper. She's all about the Bob Harper workout videos.
The Mr. Workout King that had like 4 heart attacks. All right, cool.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Who's super vegan too? Or he's he's a vegetarian.
He eats perfect. Yeah. Always works out. And he's
like, how are you still having dropping. Heart attacks?
Yeah. Like, can you imagine if you were fat?
Oh, God.
All right, so the answer is pay some attention.
But I do pay, I feel like I do
I don't
pay
think
attention.
That's a, I was going to say, I don't think that that's a good answer. I want to retract that because that's not appropriate. Because that's
what
not,
do you
that's
want?
To say that I think that what I want is if I for not to let the video game control it to a point where you can't get up and leave the video game. You have to like finish, you have something in your body that's telling you you have to finish this round, because if you don't, that might be the win. You know what I mean? Like, step away from the video game. Like, literally, like, ease up on it. I don't, it's gonna be there.
Do you feel
Fortnite
like
Fortnite has not changed?
Do you feel like you compete with the video game?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Whenever he is sitting in front of it, absolutely.
So again, quantify it. Like, how many hours does he play a day?
Okay, so he had off for the voting, like, or for the,
yeah, for the election. Yeah.
And, because he's a teacher.
Yeah.
I would dare to say he got up, he worked out. Well, I know he did these things. He got up, he worked out, he got a haircut. He did those three things. And in between those three things he did, he was probably playing that video game for the rest of the day.
Hmm. But, I mean, that's a single day. I mean, on a daily average. Because you know how your phone will now tell you how much screen time you spend on
it
every day?
I don't even want to look at it.
Yeah,
I don't even want to look at it.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
How much screen time does he spend with his video games daily?
Not too much on a weekday.
Okay.
Probably like, ooh, it still sounds a lot.
Who gets more time, you or the game?
The game.
The game more than you. Oh, boy.
But you know what?
But it is a new game, though. I mean, Fortnite is very popular.
But there's always going to be a new game. That's the problem.
Here's where I'm saying, there's always going to be.
They make $1 billion in the first week, yes.
Put down the sticks. That's what I'm saying. So it's like, we were going somewhere. Oh, yeah, no, we were going to watch the UK game. And I was like, you were the one who told me 5:45.
Well,
it is now 6 o'clock.
Does he love Kentucky as much as you?
Yeah. He loves probably more.
So, I mean, college ball is not like, it's not like you're pulling him away to go to like one of those stupid
Duke
wine painting classes
well,
or something.
I mean, he probably had the right idea in skipping that game. Though.
Okay. Yeah. This was before we knew that Zion Williamson's a freaking monster from Space Jam. God. That was embarrassing. Yeah. Different topic. But yeah, no.
So not to get too personal here, but I mean, like, do you try to distract him? Like, do you walk by in lingerie or something?
I mean, we've been together for 5 years at this point. No.
Lingerie doesn't exist anymore.
I literally probably could plop my boobs on his head and he'd still be like, you're blocking my my shot, Audrey. Get away. So, no.
Well, that's how you know it's a good relationship.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah. When you're like, get your boob off my head. That's when you are fully comfortable. All right. Let's move on to the next beer.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the next beer. Let's wash these out. So let's finish off the.
Are we doing this now? Are we washing them out?
Well,
yeah.
We learned our lesson.
From the one. Wait, what happened last time? I'm just thinking about our last.
Yeah, our last
encounter.
Time. It was, there were some residual effects from the glasses. So, you know, and I had some water bottles left over. So, if you want to rinse your glass out, Dave, let's go to the sour next.
Okay.
Let's go to, we're going to move on to Modern Times. This is one that came out in the beginning of September. This one is called Radium Dial. So this is a.
Is there only one trash can in here?
No, there's one right.
Okay,
there's one right next to
it. I just want to.
Yeah, I brought in a spare trash can.
Got some tissue paper over there.
What?
Tissue paper?
Oh yeah. Why is there a roll of toilet paper in here?
I don't know why there's a roll of toilet paper here in the studio.
Is there some lotion over there too?
What?
Oh, boy.
Who is in here? That's what I'm saying. Why is there tissue paper? It's a sixth season. I just don't want to pour this straight in the thing.
So this one is the Radium Dial. From Modern Times. This is a Berliner Weiss or a Berliner Weiss beer. It's like, or sour. You know, it's basically, it's got a lot of fruit in this beer. And I'm not traditionally a big sour fan whatsoever because over the years, I think when they first came out, they were just, I don't know. I don't think they were of the level that they are now because I think that as sour has become, and as it's become a bigger style and that craft beers exploded more, I think more companies are paying attention and that they're just making better sour beers.
I just don't like sour stuff in general. Like, I don't like grapefruit. I don't like Sour Patch Kids. I don't like sour anything.
Grapefruit is so gross.
Yeah, like, who thought that would be a good idea?
The worst fruit of all time.
Yeah.
It shouldn't even be a fruit.
Declassify it as a fruit.
You have to put sugar on it in order for it to even be edible.
I can't think of another fruit that sucks as much as grapefruit.
Now, grapefruit is easily the worst fruit.
No, cantaloupe sucks too.
Oh, no.
Cantaloupe's way better than
cantaloupe.
Okay,
cantaloupe is legit. Honeydew.
Nobody likes honeydew.
Honeydew is bullshit.
It should be called honeydew.
It should be.
Those are the same things.
No, they are not. They are completely different.
The texture is very same.
Yeah.
They're very similar.
But it's bullshit.
They same.
All right. I should have some more beer.
All right. Well, cheers. This is the Radium Dial. Very tart nose on that.
Oh. Cheers. Again, I don't like sour anything, and I like this beer.
I like that a lot.
You do like that. I mean, looking at this beer, I mean, it does look kind of grapefruity.
Yeah,
gets more sour as it goes.
It does. It's this. It's like a slow pucker.
Whoa.
You know, kind of like sucks in your lips. You know, like if there was like a black hole or water draining down a drain that it's
draining down a black hole.
water draining down a black hole. I don't know if water can exist in space, but well, sure, why not?
Sure.
But
anything can happen.
Modern Times does a really good job of just making all of the styles and all the beers that they do just really, really well. The one interesting thing about this, Dave and I were hanging out over the weekend. We watched the fights, the MMA, the UFC fights over the weekend, the Daniel Cormier fights, and I brought some of this over to his house. I stopped by the liquor store that I like to shop at, and I was picking it up, and I was going to the counter, and the guy rings it up, and it came up as like $22.
Here it is.
For a four-pack.
Still on my can, so yeah.
Yeah.
A four-pack, $21.99.
And the guy goes, are you sure? Are you sure that, you know, and I appreciate him like looking out for me, you know, because $22 for a four-pack of beer may seem like a lot, but then when you think you're at the bar, you're paying $8 for just a generic IPA.
For a pint of whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and meanwhile, you could pay $5, $5.50 a can and get something that is, I think, really unique. I think they've really done a good job with this particular beer.
So to finish the story, Mahoney looked at the man and said, sir, I'm wearing a $400 Tommy Bahama shirt with buttons made of real wood.
This is teak.
Teak
this
wood.
This is teak. And
yes.
This is not it's not 400, Dave. It's 155.
Do you think I care about $21.99? You're wasting my time. Ring it up, bitch.
This shirt costs $4.50 to dry clean. I'll have you know.
It's right?
What the hell?
Which, every time you're like, man, I should just bought a new crappy shirt.
Should have worn a really bad undershirt with that. Yeah. But the nose on this, very fruity. You know, and I'm curious because we tried a sour beer, like I think on the first time you joined us, Audrey, and you weren't a fan of that, but you do like this one.
This is so good. And actually, can I see the can?
Sure.
And I'm still so intrigued by the price point on this.
Yeah, $21.99 for four pints. So four 16-ounce beers.
Okay, so the raspberry is what I'm tasting the most, and that is killer.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out the...
And at 6.5% alcohol by volume, there's a good amount of liquor in this beer, but it is almost untasting. It does not show up.
Yeah, no, not at all. And like you said, Audrey, the sourness goes away really quickly, so it fades away nicely, which I appreciate because if it lingered for too long, I wouldn't like it because it dissipates so quickly. This is a very, for somebody that's just getting introduced to sours, this is a great one to start with if you can deal with the price point.
At the price point, but if you think about it in the terms of, like I said, if you're out at the bar, you're not, it's even a domestic beer at this point here in Las Vegas, you're paying like $5, $5.50 for for a domestic that's probably been sitting there for.
And that's at the local pubs. If you go down to the strip, you'll spend like $9 on a bottle of Bud Light.
Bud Light, yeah.
It was, I think I've got a Newcastle at Caesars, and it was like $13.
Yeah. God.
On the floor. Like, not even like at a club or a restaurant.
It was at the sports book. I was with you.
Yeah. It was like, damn.
Wait, was I with you?
I don't know.
Because I also got a Lagunitas at the sports
$13 Lagunitas is a little bit ridiculous at this point. But the price point is a little bit higher. If you're not willing to spend the $21 for the four-pack, the Fruitlands goes That beer is very similar, you know, because it's another tart beer but a little bit more salty, but kind of in a similar sour vein. Only $11.99 for that, but I would say give this a shot. You know, if you're able to find it at your local brewery, I think they have this for another like month or two that is floating around at your local craft beer shop.
Is it just West Coast or is it kind of everywhere now?
Mostly West Coast, where Modern Times is being delivered. If you're listening to this in Albany, sorry about that. Modern Times hasn't made it out your way just yet. But they will.
There's one similar on the East Coast from Rheingeist.
Not familiar with those guys.
They are out of Cincinnati.
Okay.
And it's called Peach Dodo. That's actually pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's like one of the only sours that I've ever had that I actually kind of liked. Mm-hmm. Like, and I don't necessarily, how you were talking earlier, like it's just like almost like overpowering. And I don't do well with anything that makes my face like literally like turn inside.
Yeah, like squunch up and
hurts. But this is really good, similar to that.
It's easy to drink, even though, like you said, you do get that like nice sour punch that is happening in there. It's not overpowering. It's not distracting either. Because like you said, you know, there's beers that just try too hard. I know you're not a big fan of those particular types of beers, but this one, the Radium Dial from Modern Times. Again, Modern Times does another fantastic style and home run again, you know. I mean, I don't know if this is a five. It's not a 5 out of 5, but this is definitely almost a 4 in my opinion. You know, wow. Pretty close to a 4 out of 5.
That's strong. So, Audrey, does this help with? The only reason I ask is I see you tweeting about it. Your seasonal depression.
Oh God, yeah. Well,
like getting deep into the beer, does that help? I'm trying to
figure
out ways to
make it. Out last night. I was kind of in a weird headspace recently for no real reason. It just happens to a lot of us, right? So I was just like in a weird headspace, and I'm like, okay. What the hell's going on? And I was even talking to one of our bosses about this the other day. And I was like, what's like, that's so weird how this happens just to people. Went out last night, woke up this morning, slightly kind of hungover, but felt better today. I just see that I'm a person who needs social interaction. Like I need it. Like I need to be around people.
Yeah.
And if I'm not around it enough, I like dissipate. Like literally I turn into like a puddled terrible version of myself.
Yeah.
Like I feed off of energies. Like literally, like I want to be around like happy vibing people at all times. That's
anytime
why
that
I worked
you want to
in
come
the bar for forever.
Slam beer with us. Exactly. I mean, like when you get kind of addicted to that interaction and people are always having a good time and then it goes away. Like that's pretty hard to deal with, I think, for a lot of people because everyone's having fun. And that's why so many people look back on college, I think, just so fondly in general, because everyone is just having the time of their lives.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like, real life comes along and no one's having fun and everyone's just miserable. And you're like,
dang.
Yeah, college is great because you're drunk and your parents are paying for it.
Yeah, no joke.
Speak for yourself. My parents didn't pay for my college. Oh, yeah.
They didn't?
No. I've got 6 kids in my family. My parents, you know, they just made it clear. They're like, well, get a scholarship or good luck.
My friends are all very, 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 very much in debt, and it's so sad because they're reaching their 30s, and they're like, I don't know what to do. Like I have house payments, and I'm a 30-year-old, and I'm a bartender now, and it's like if I'm not continuously making the money that I am right now by taking an entry level job somewhere, I'm gonna end up taking like probably like a $10,000 pay cut. And I won't be able to pay my bills or my loans or Sally.
But then all of a sudden you're a 38-year-old bartender and you're like,
dang,
do I start another career now because I don't want to be a bartender anymore?
It's a trap. It's a trap.
Yeah. And it takes a toll on your body.
Sure.
You know, I mean, like my dad worked in still works in the food industry. And, you know, for God, how old is he now? He's 60 something. So, I mean, like for 45 years now at this point, and it's not easy on the body. But again, one of those vicious cycles where you're making good money, it's fun, but then at one point it just eventually starts to stop.
Being fun. It's just not fun anymore because everyone is 23 and hammered, and you're the old one. Because like I waited tables for years, Outback Steakhouse,
Your flair,
lots of flair. And there was always the old guy. And you know who I'm talking about. Because every restaurant job or bar job that you have, there's always the old guy that works there.
Yep.
And you're like, I'm never going to be that old guy. And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm that old guy. Oh, son of a bitch.
We used to be the young guys here. Now we're the old guys. Yeah. What the hell happened?
I know, man.
That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Well, I mean, as long as Chet Buchanan's still around, we're good.
He's slightly older.
Audrey's not laughing on purpose.
We love Chet.
I do love Chet. I can say that because he's a friend.
Yeah.
I didn't used to love Chet, but I love Chet. He's become a good friend.
Ah, good times, good times.
Still not saying anything.
It's just, she's just there. I'm going to drink my tea.
Mm-hmm.
Sour tea.
We can all agree that Chet's a great guy.
Yeah, we love Chet. Yeah. And we love this beer. Do you want any more, or do we want to move on to the next one yet? Dave's pouring some more.
Whoops. I like
no,
this.
No, no, no.
We'll
finish this one off. You pour yourself a little bit more and treat yourself to some more of the Radium Dial from Modern Times, 6.5% ABV. I do like how the can looks. Again, going back to like Modern Times, just design of everything. I think they do, you know, just even their seasonals, or excuse me, their yearly regular releases. Very simple, very beautiful, just classical styling. But even when you mix up with some of their like special releases like this, I think it's just super cool. Kind of has like a cheetah print to it, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very bit. 70s vibe.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that.
Lava lamp.
Oh, yeah. And also, lava lamps, are those coming back?
And also, lava lamps, like we had just been talking about.
It's not a lava lamp, but it's very similar. It's in the same family as lava lamps. Those little electricity ball things,
uh-huh,
where like if you touch it, you know, like little things
from
come.
Like every 80s science movie, like
yeah,
in Weird
yeah, exactly,
Science and all that
exactly
stuff. Yeah, yeah.
So, trick-or-treating with my 2.5-year-old daughter, mm-hmm, and somebody had one of those out where they were handing out the candy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did it blow her mind?
She loved it. So, if you happen to have one of those in the attic or basement or whatever somewhere,
you got to buy a new one. I feel like the ones
from
the
80s. You can buy them on Amazon.
I feel
I
like
know
the,
you can.
You?
Oh, I'm going to look
I
it
I feel
right
like
now.
Those 80s
how
ones.
How much are those?
I mean, what, 50 bucks? $75 bucks?
Bring it out on Halloween when you're doing the trick-or-treat and let little kids touch that.
Go buck wild.
Because you can't do it with a lava lamp, because lava lamps get hot as hell.
Hot. You will burn yourself.
Yes, third-degree burns.
Yeah, that's why that like I never understood why they were directly next to your bed.
Terrible
especially
idea.
Like,
yeah,
if, you know, sexy time is going down, like, and you're exposed. The last thing you want to do is your ass hit that, and then you've got fourth-degree burns, third-degree burns. From a lava lamp on your ass.
I'm
not that I'm speaking
about your kind of sex you're having where you're throwing your ass all the way over by your nightstand.
The right kind. The right kind, I'll have you know.
Jeez.
I mean, that's not happening anymore, but
no.
Once when he was 19, his ass was all over the room. Look out.
He's throwing it around.
So, I don't know if you saw, did you see my Instagram? If you're not following my Instagram, at Mahoney Sucks.
He always plugs his Instagram.
At Mahoney Sucks. Did you see the... did you see the? Actually, it's at David Mahoney. I'm sorry.
What do you know?
The video that I posted about the problem that some men are having because of intercourse.
Oh, with a broken dicks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the broken dicks.
Yeah.
They're calling it like BD instead of ED.
Really?
It's
broke dick.
It's something.
Does it stand for broke dick?
It's something like this. You gotta like.
Oh my God.
PD, not yeah. BD. BD yeah. would work, but
yeah, that should be called CDS. That's curved dick syndrome.
BDS, broke dick syndrome.
Broke dick. Yeah.
But so I'm watching this commercial on like one of the news channels during prime election season. Right?
She found him. She's so excited right now.
How much is one of those?
$39.95.
$40.
See,
it's a sensory moon plasma ball lamp. Is that what it was?
Yeah, those things. Yeah.
Plasma lamps.
See, I don't know. I don't want to buy the. I don't trust buying the cheap one on something like that. I feel like if you're going to buy that, you need to buy the American made like $75 one. Otherwise, it's going to be from China.
Tommy Bahama is getting all bougie on us.
No, I just don't want to. I don't want like if I'm going to put that in my kid's room or anywhere in my house, I don't want like an open ball of electricity that costs $39.
I don't think even the American made ones like have this level of quality. Like the only place of those exists are at that one lady's house trick or treating and a bunch of meth heads in Missouri.
I had one of those growing
only
up.
Only people buying those things. Exactly. And where did you grow up?
Missouri.
All right. There we go.
I'm way too fat to be a meth head. I take umbrage with that assertion,
I'm saying
my friend.
You got out. If you'd stayed in Missouri,
okay.
That was the.
I'd be skinny at least.
Yeah.
So there's that.
I don't know, man. Over the years, I have known some fat cokeheads.
Really?
And I'm like,
yes.
Man, you really don't take care of yourself. This,
no.
I mean, that should just kind of take care of it for you, but
yeah.
you do a lot of coke and you are really out of shape.
Because they also drink, they binge drink too.
Yeah.
So.
Which normally leads to the cocaine.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should tell Aubrey about speaking of.
Did you just call it Aubrey?
No, I said Audrey.
You said Aubrey.
Whatever. My
tomato, tomato.
Same difference. Hey, you over there. I said Aubrey. Come on, people.
No, you did. We have a recording of it. Like, people.
Prove it.
Okay.
We're recording. You can't stop. Go back and play
it. Son of a bitch, you know that's true.
That's right. So, Audrey, why don't we tell Audrey about the perils that are happening over at your house right now?
All right, so.
Here, we'll drink. Yeah. Cheers. What are the perils? Is it more about baby
butts? There's
no
cheersing on this one. We're just.
Is it sad? Is it has to do with diapers?
No. So like that. All that part of my life is going great. You know, I've got this beautiful wife and a 2-year-old who's just more adorable
every
single day.
Oh my God, she's so pretty.
She's just talking up a storm, and you know her personality's coming out, and it's amazing. And then a brand new baby who's not even 2 weeks old at this point. So that's wonderful. What's not wonderful is that there is a house that's next door to mine that is an abandoned house. And there's somebody that's owned this house for a decade. They actually bought it in 2005, and it started to go into foreclosure in 2009. And then they had some people that moved in, and they pulled it out of foreclosure. Long story short, I mean, we moved into the house in 2016, and it's been vacant the entire time. Well, last year, around this time, some squatters moved into the house. And we ended up running them off. But, I mean, like, it was pretty serious stuff where, like, we were doing everything in our power to try to screw with them. Like, I may or may not know somebody that works for one of the utility companies that turned off one of their essential utilities, which was kind of the first little hammer that we dropped. And then I may or may not know somebody that works for a certain law enforcement agency that would have, you know, some of their units go by and wand the houses and some dogs would bark. Just little fun things to try to make their life uncomfortable. Because my wife didn't really love the idea of there being, you know, illegal squatters next door when, you know, we had
if it's a family not paying a mortgage.
Like, I don't
who
care.
Cares about
I don't
that?
Care.
But when it's, you know, meth heads circling back around.
The house is in disarray. Yeah. They're obviously junkies. And so we end up running them off and we change the locks out in the house and everything else. Well, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a little papers that were put on the door. Have you ever seen the papers they put on a house that's about to be foreclosed? They always use the blue painter's tape for whatever reason.
Yeah, yeah.
But they'll put it on the front door. But when that happens, it's publicly listed that the house is going into foreclosure because of whatever law. And so squatters know what to do. So what they'll do is they'll go and they'll print out a fake lease that has the owner's name because that's listed in that posting. And they'll move into the house because they know that nobody lives there at the time. They'll go by and scope it out, and, you know, the papers are still up. No one obviously lives there. They'll just move in, and then whenever the house gets sold at auction or whatever it may be, the bank or whoever buys it at auction will pay them up to $5,000 just to leave because they don't want to go through the process of trying to evict them. And so they'll go live in the house for free. They'll get the utilities turned on because the utilities don't ever vet, like, whether or not somebody actually has a right to be there. Well, a couple of days ago, I'm sitting and I see the papers are taken down that were put on the front door. And I'm like, there's something weird going on here. And sure enough, the lights are on. And I'm like,
oh, it's like a horror story.
And so that next morning, as I'm leaving for work, and I noticed the lights were on, there's a car in the driveway and it's a white Mercedes. And my wife goes, okay, well, that's actually a pretty good sign.
Probably like, a realtor.
Maybe somebody actually bought this house at auction. They're getting the utilities turned on, and they're going to flip the house and, you know, put it on the market. And, like, that's exactly what we want to happen. Well, one of my other neighbors goes, actually, I saw the girl walk out to get something out of the car, and she didn't look like a realtor. Like, she's wearing, like, sweatpants and just kind of, like, looked suspicious. And I'm like, all right, well, that's interesting. Well, I get home from work that day, and I'm creeping. And so I'm looking, I look over the wall. My little head pops. I'm like,
and like a lemur, yeah. Standing on his back. For
and I see a dude in there wearing like a beanie, and he's got, you know, like a baggy shirt on with like a big gold chain. And I'm like,
tight,
motherfucker. Like, this is definitely not somebody that has bought this house legit. And sure enough, it's another squatter that's moved in
a Mercedes.
Well, so here's what's interesting is that I call the police,
right?
And I don't know if I should admit this or not, but if you call them and tell them it's a vacant house and that there's a squatter in there, they won't do anything about it because they can't. If you call them and tell them it's your neighbor's house is being broken into, which technically
is
true.
That house is getting broken into, and it's your neighbor's house.
Right, it's my neighbor's house getting broken into. They'll show up like it's your regular neighbor's house getting broken into. And so they showed up, and they bang on the door, and I see the guy walk out, and they cuff him, and they take him over to the car. And then he goes, I have a lease, and I have keys to the place. And so, sure enough, he had printed out a fake lease that just said lease agreement. It was like a Word doc that he had typed out himself, or he copied and pasted a template from the internet. And he showed it to the cops, and they're like, yeah, like, it's obviously fake. But he had keys because he'd changed out one of the locks. And so, because he has keys and a fake lease, the cops technically can't do anything. So they took the cuffs off and let him go.
Dave did some reconnaissance work.
I took
a photo of this guy.
Yep.
I'm going to show you a photo of this guy right now, and you tell me if you think that this guy is
on the drugs?
On the drugs, or possibly maybe Dave just profiled him wrong, and he is, in fact.
Maybe he's a high-powered Las Vegas attorney.
Oh, my God.
I'm not saying that if you looked up
you
meth user.
Me.
And so my wife sees this guy, and she's like, oh, my God, this guy looks like a pedophile meth head. And so she, you know, home with two little babies. The last thing that she...
2 week old baby.
And like the houses here in Las Vegas are right next to each other, right?
Yeah, like especially in newer communities.
Yeah. And so long story short, she saw him leave when she came home. And when he left, I'm like, well, screw this guy. And so I went over and just shut the power off on the house myself because the power box is on the outside and put a padlock on it. So that way I would know because I'd already put a lock on it previously when we'd run the other squatters off.
Yeah, why have they not
off.
Done that?
I did do that. Yeah, they'll just cut it off. And so I went and put another one on there. But the point is that I know when somebody has gone to the power box, and it's getting pretty cold here in Las Vegas at night, like down to freezing temperatures. And so if they're in the house, they're going to come and turn the power back on. And they didn't, and they still haven't yet. And so, I think if the police aren't going to do anything, then, you know, we got to kind of make sure the house is clear ourselves, if you will.
Okay, so but what I'm not getting at, or what I'm not understanding right now is that how can they not, as police officers, do anything if the house clearly is not bought? It's not a leasing agreement. Can
right.
they not like?
So here's the problem: is that this owner has been MIA. Like the owner, who knows where they are? And if they don't have a complaint from the owner, like if this is a house that was an investment property for me that I owned in Kentucky, I would call the cops when I found out there are squatters there. Say I'm the rightful owner of this house, and it, even if it's going into foreclosure, it's still in my name. I want them out.
So it is a house that's out for rent usually.
No.
It's a house that's been owned, but it's been in total disarray for years, and we have no idea where this owner is.
There were meth heads in there once before, but they got run out.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I've been dealing with.
I am so sorry. That is awful.
We'll take care of it.
Yeah.
You picked the wrong neighborhood, bitch.
All we have is time and an axe to grind.
Right. I'm looking for people to hate. My life is pretty damn good. I don't really
Things
have
are pretty good.
Any reason to be mad at anyone. And so if you give me, like, especially, and I mean, like, normally, like, I'm a pretty passive guy. Like, I don't really get mad at people.
Would you ever get mad?
Never.
I've known you for 15 years and never seen you, like, lose your cool ever.
But you fuck with my family.
Yeah.
And you make my wife uncomfortable, and that's a totally different story.
Yeah, that's a whole nother world.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm going through right now. But, you know, if there's anything that would make me go, you know what, I will handle this myself, officer. And the cops were kind of like, hey, we're not telling you to do anything, but if they happen to, like, you know, leave they're not saying that, but because they don't want me to, like, burn the place down, which I've thought about.
No, like the rubble.
But they're like, well, you know, if the utilities get turned off, then technically it's uninhabitable, and then we can do something about it. But still, you're talking about weeks, if not months, of processes and paperwork and everything else.
I think I want to become a squatter, man. I get to live rent free, and I'm going to get paid $5,000.
I actually thought about just kicking the door in and having a fake lease myself, and going, no, I lease this house.
Yeah.
I'm squatting here now, bitch, and then see what
Turf
happens.
War.
Yeah, right? It's like when you see the hookers fighting over whose corner it
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, you didn't, bitch.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you didn't. You just rip off his weave.
Why were you wearing a weave?
Why not? You know, I look good. I don't judge. But I showed that picture. So, you know, this is something that Dave and his wife had dealt with once before. What was it, about 6 or 8 months ago?
No, it was about this time last year, because my wife, when she first saw the guy coming into the neighborhood and realized, like, there's something weird about this dude, because we'd seen some stuff going on at that house, and, again, mm-hmm. the lights were on, and they hadn't been for, you know, a year and a half or whatever. I guess it had been about a half year at that point. But it was the same sort of situation. Because she was outside fixing some of the Christmas decorations.
Oh.
And so it was right around this time again, around the holidays.
Because it's getting colder?
Probably getting colder, and because the house just got relisted as being a foreclosure. And so, like, this guy's fake lease, the cop told me that it was dated November 1. And so I'm like, okay, all right. But
Have you guys ever had any interest in flipping homes? You should just buy it and flip it.
Well, first off, it
hasn't
even gone
Bristol up Maroon Day?
Yeah, right? First off, MMA fighter. Secondly, a house flipper. This guy's perfect. Come on over, Bristol.
Oh, God.
Long story short, I'm confident that it's going to get rectified. Since the cops came and he ran off, he has not been back. And I may or may not know somebody as well that was able to give me all of the information about the license plate on that Mercedes and who owns that car and where she works. And it's definitely not at the Wynn. And she's definitely not in the showroom at Le Rev or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll just say it's rather specific, the information that I got.
And also, like,
she works at the Wynn.
You know what pisses me off? These goddamn squatters driving Mercedes.
It's a 2014 Mercedes, but she hasn't paid her insurance, so the tags are suspended. I know that too, Brianna.
Oh,
though if that car does come back, we should call the cops and be like, "Hey, I got some expired plates."
Yeah, yeah.
It's like just knock them out.
This chick was saying, "F the police," and driving around in her Mercedes, saying she doesn't have to pay stupid insurance,
and
the cops never catch her.
The craziest thing, too. Dave lives so close to one of the big giants police.
It's like a police substation.
Like, you could hit that substation with a rock.
I mean, if you had a really good arm.
Yeah. If you had an Uncle Rico style arm from Napoleon Dynamite.
Or at least like a slingshot or something.
Yeah.
Like you could definitely hit it.
Yeah. Couple throws. All right. Let's get to the, like I said, I'm so sorry.
It's a gated community, too. It's like these.
How did they get in?
I got a code from somebody, or they follow somebody in. I don't know, man, but.
How hard is it to even like get to rent a house or all of that? It just is so mind numbing. Like, because I remember trying to turn utilities on in my house and it was a pain
impossible.
In the ass. They're like, where you need like three forms of ID and
three
two
forms
letters.
Of ID, and then they're like, well, it's going to be a deposit. I'm like, are these people like putting down all this? Like,
they
what's going on here? Right?
They have to be.
And so I guess that's probably why they get territorial about these houses. But game on, squatters.
Yeah, game on.
If you happen to be listening to the Beer for Breakfast podcast, I'm going to win, bitch. Or I'm going to die trying.
We're going to mess you up.
Yep.
I'm going to mess you up real bad. Okay, the final beer.
Final beer.
Final beer and beer for breakfast today. So this beer is called Bedrock. This is a brown. What is the style exactly? It's a brown. What is one? It's like a brown coffee nitro beer. So it's a nitro brown ale.
With coconut and coffee.
Yes. So I got this one for Audrey because I knew that she was going to like this one. So when Dave make it a very aggressive pour on that, like very aggressive.
Upside down.
So because it's a nitro
ball.
Yeah, it's a nitro.
Like
I don't think there's a nitro ball in there, but it's.
But you know,
is there a ball in there?
No, it doesn't sound like.
No, but just make it a very like aggressive
upside
pour
down
on the rest of the pour, like just almost like yeah, like just straight
so
up.
So you
and
get
down.
The head on it.
Yeah, you got to get a lot of head on that.
Oh.
No, I'm just saying. Otherwise, it's gonna taste flat.
Ding 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 ding.
There we go.
Ding ding. I did that because it was upside down, like a.
Yeah, you just got to have a very aggressive pour with that, because with a beers that are made with nitrogen, or use that to not nitrogate. I don't know what the word is.
Nitrogate.
It's like carbonate,
it's definitely not nitrogate. I don't
know what I'm talking about.
I don't know what the word is, but it's definitely not nitrogate.
It's totally
nitrogate.
Don't you do this.
It's nitrogate,
don't you do this, Audrey.
It's
nitrogate.
I'm going to start calling you Aubrey.
I said Audrey. How dare you? I've been drinking. I've been drinking. So this one has 6.2 ABV, 30 IBUs. This one is available. This is the November release for Modern Times. So they release 12 different beers monthly for this one.
You don't like the smell of it?
Uh-oh. It smells like fish food.
Fish food?
Fish food. I mean, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
The lovely fish food, though.
The nose on this is not.
But just try to smell
now,
like the chocolate tones in there.
Now I can.
Can you?
No, I really think it might have been the mixture of the previous beer mixed in with. Like,
did you,
you know
not?
What I mean? Like,
did you
I
not?
Did.
Did you
no,
not
I did. No, I did. Yeah. But it was either just like the smell of it. I don't know. But at first, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, the nose.
So far, two out of three beers: baby butt and fish food.
Really, really knocking them out of the park today
I'm
on this one.
I'm smelling it normally, and it does have all of those notes in it.
Yeah. It's not. I mean, I would say it's not the best nose that I've ever smelled.
It's fine.
But it's definitely not the worst.
Definitely very chocolatey.
Yeah.
Let's take a drink. One final time. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, that's good.
Oh, dang.
Oh, that's nice.
All right, let's finish this.
I enjoy that one.
That
tastes like the holidays. That's what that. This, I mean, like the Dirty Heads.
Dude, that chocolate that coffee.
Like the Dirty Heads is misplaced in this Beer for Breakfast podcast because it's like the perfect summer beer. This feels like a Christmas party that you don't really want to be at, and so you just pound like three of these, and all of a sudden you're happy being anywhere.
And you're having a great time. Yeah. You know what? How relatable is that? Yeah. Everybody's gone to one of those Christmas parties at someone's spouse's something.
I'm hanging out over at my wife's friend's house, and I don't want to be there, and I'm wearing this stupid, itchy-ass, funny Christmas sweater.
Can we stop that?
Yeah, like that jumped the shark.
Can we stop that? Like,
actually, once it was on Shark Tank is when it jumped the shark.
It was on Shark Tank?
Yeah, like they invested in like a...
The elf sweater.
The elves, tipsy elves or whatever, yes.
They invested in that?
Yes, that's when like every basic bitch and dude in the world got one, and you're like, all right, it's over.
They have them for sports teams now, too. Have you seen them? Where they're like the Christmas sports teams?
That was like a big thing last year, like the guy who's the Raiders fan with the Kansas City... family and like the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, it's fine. Yes. Like, I'm not mad at you if you do it. But for me, can we be done with that, please? Like, I don't want to go to a Christmas party where there's like sweaters is the main theme and we can all sit around and talk about how it was fun when it was actually unique and like somebody had the crazy Christmas sweater that they'd gotten from their dead grandpa's closet.
Ooh, morbid.
That, I mean, you know what I mean? They're like when they didn't just make them to be ironic and funny, which makes them no longer ironic or funny.
Yes.
I like Christmas parties.
I think I'm more mad at Christmas sweaters than I am at the squatters. This is strange.
Yeah, what if that squatter better not show back up?
If he shows up wearing a Christmas sweater, I'm going to kick his ass.
That shit is on. It is on at that point. One of the reasons I really like Christmas parties, I don't like our own company Christmas parties because
It's like you get two drink tickets at PT's. Like it's
Well, we have new management. We're a new ownership, so I don't know how.
You're right.
I don't know how this year's Christmas party.
CBS was not good at the Christmas parties.
They used to be good early on. Like,
and when they really got good is when the economy crashed.
Oh God!
And they were like, we're going to do them at the office. There was a guy who worked in one department who I don't want to call out, and he ended up.
He was an engineer.
All right.
It was an engineer.
So an engineer ended up boning one of the sales chicks. And I say sales chicks very loosely because she was like 90. So there was this engineer and this sales lady that combined age.
160, 170?
No. But probably close to 140.
150, let's call it. Let's just call it. All right,
we'll call one.
Good solid 150.
150 years old of combined genital age.
And not that we're mad at that. You know,
you got to get your
old, you're still horny, whatever.
But, like, in a cubicle. When everyone is, like, 8 feet away outside of the patio, all drunk on some shitty margarita.
It was tequila, really, really bad tequila that year. God, that was what, 2008? Seven? 2008?
It was 2000.
No, it had to be 2007, I think.
2007? Yeah, it was 2007.
Yeah, because they laid off like 100
people. It was when everyone was getting fired. And so,
oh, yeah.
It was kind of like if the zombie apocalypse was coming because everyone's like, well, this is probably
this gonna be me next?
The end of my days.
Jeez.
And so I might as well just live it up. And next thing you know, cubicle sex.
Cleaning the keyboards
out. Senior citizen cubicle sex.
Just a flap of skin hitting the escape key.
Oh, okay. All right.
Flap of skin. I hate that so much.
A droopy testicle hits enter. Control enter.
Oh, God.
What even happened?
Alt F4. Shut it off.
Turn it down.
Shut it off right now. So the reason I like Christmas parties, not our own Christmas parties, maybe that we will under our new company and our new management, you know, because we have good management here at Intercom once again. But... you act like the higher you don't think that the higher ups listen to this beautiful podcast that we do.
They don't even know we do this.
Sure they do.
No, they don't.
They know we do
they
this.
They don't listen to this garbage.
This is the highest downloaded podcast in Las Vegas.
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
The highest downloaded
in this market.
Beer for breakfast is? No, it's not.
Yeah, thousands upon thousands of people.
I would like to see some data.
Thousands.
I will show you the data.
Okay.
Yeah. If you would like to advertise, hit me up at Mahoney Sucks.
Do not pay him directly for anything. Mahoney's going to walk into the studio next week.
Cash only.
Wearing like a NASCAR suit with patches all over it for shitty CBD oil places.
Hey, man, their money spends as good as anybody else's. How dare you? You don't know, man. Some people need that. It's a miracle cure. It's better than opioids.
There you go.
That's right. So. The reason why I like Christmas parties is because when you're talking to like your fiancés or your significant others, like coworkers or their coworkers, you could just say whatever you want. They don't know you. You're probably never going to see that person again. So I just like to say the most stupid and outlandish shit and see how far you can take it.
That's the route you go.
What do you do at the Christmas parties? Do you have a thing? Because your fiance is a teacher, right?
Yeah.
Does he have like a thing that he drags you to, like a mandatory, we all have to get together at some other teacher's house? And I tell you what, I've been to a couple of teacher parties.
They
go nuts. The last teacher party that I was at, some chick lifted up her shirt and put them on the glass. And I was like, what?
Impressive. Somebody told me
what's happening here.
The reason why they party so hard is because they have to put up with those kids all the time. So they're like, when they go get loose, they like go nutso.
Yeah, but like you get one sangria in, and it's like titties. Like,
well, that's so funny. Oh, we were drinking at our last event with Andrew's teacher friends.
Uh-huh.
It was like rum shots on rum shots on rum shots every 15 minutes. I swear to God, they're like shots. We're like, motherfucker, we just took one like seconds ago.
What is going on here?
Can I like let the first one hit? I'm pretty sure it takes an hour. Yeah, no, it was brutal.
Is there anything worse than taking shots that you do not want to take though?
You know what? Is there just anything worse?
I mean, I'll take your word for that.
I don't know. It's not that bad.
I mean,
I guess it depends what end you're on.
Can I have some shots first? Please?
I'm just kidding. But no, really. No. Well,
I'm just kidding. I love
kidding. I love it. No, I was just kidding. Oh, this is getting twisted and turned and not. Is my face red? No, that wasn't supposed
to be. Not really, actually. You're cool as a cucumber. You look
cool.
Fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It started off cold in here. Now it's hot. But yeah.
Yeah, no. So is there anything worse than shots? Not just that you don't want to take. Like the forced upon you shots are definitely the worst. But I would say a close second are shots that you also just decide to take on your own. At the time, they seem like a great idea. But I've gotten to the point in my life now, I'm 39, where if I'm saying let's do shots.
You fucked up.
I fucked up bad.
Yeah.
Dang.
I've gone to a point where like the next couple of days are going to suck for me.
Yeah.
I need a friend in my life that's like, go to bed, Dave. It won't work, but I would at least appreciate the effort.
Do you take shots?
I try not to anymore because
Mahoney turns into Frank the Tank. And so if he does like two shots, it's 20 shots.
Yeah, if it's
one leads to two and two leads to 20.
Yeah, as soon as they hit, then my fiance wants to leave me immediately. She loves Jason. She does not love Mahoney, and when I am drinking heavily, I turn
Mahoney
in,
comes out. Mahoney, the baloney pony, is riding again, baby.
Yeah.
Baloney.
Yeah, so I turn it up to like 50 on a scale of 1 to 10 usually when those things happen. She does not find – everybody else finds me wildly entertaining, but
– Well, she doesn't drink.
Yeah, but she does not love it when I am –
She does not find it quite as hilarious?
Yeah.
I see. No,
okay, so let me ask you this, though. Do you drink like bourbon?
Yeah, I mean, I like her. No, I mean, types. Like traditionally when we do that, it's like if Dave and I are hanging around either my house or his house and we're smoking cigars, it's not like we're slamming it. It's it's like one or two.
Yeah, but like even like going out to a bar, like Mahoney and I are very similar. Very rarely, I think the only time that I can recall where we drank bourbon out of a bar is when we were actually at a bar that was a cigar bar because we were smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
But like, we're not going to like, I would never like belly up to a bar and be like, give me a bourbon.
No.
Maybe at the end of the night, like after dinner, I'd have a scotch or something to like finish things off. But otherwise, very rarely drinking dark liquor.
Yeah. I can't regulate myself when it comes to hard liquor. Like, I don't know where the line is. Like, I know on like beer, like I can feel it. You can feel the line slowly moving. Because then you get to that point like where beer and you're like, okay, I'm going to calm down because I know it's not going to come in a wave and rush me over, whereas hard liquor.
And also with beer, like beer is, you know, calorie packed as it is, makes you feel full too, which is kind of nice because you're like, I feel like physically I have had enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you when it comes to beer, shots, mixed drinks?
The drink of choice.
Can
I buy you a drink? What are you having?
So, ew, gross. I actually...
She looked me dead in the eye when she said that.
Ew, gross.
Sorry.
I did not.
That's why I drink.
Sorry if I seem distracted, by the way. I keep picking up my phone and checking it. It's because I'm looking at the Ring app to make sure there's not squatters outside of my house.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like, every time I get a little notification. It just happens to be windy today as we're recording this. And so every time a tree moves, I get a notification. And I swear it's a meth head squatter. And really, it's just... A palm tree is like swaying in the wind.
Meth head palm tree.
Meth head palm tree.
Gotta watch
I don't
out.
Know you. Are you paying rent, palm tree? No, you're not. So you're squatting, aren't you, bitch?
Back up.
So what kind of drink?
It depends on the type of mood. I'm like a really big hostess, even in or outside of a party atmosphere. So it doesn't matter where I'm at. If I want us both to be turning up together, it doesn't matter. It's always tequila.
Tequila.
Oof.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. A specific kind of tequila?
I didn't even offer you.
No, no, I'm good.
I handed Audrey the beer.
No,
to,
no, good. You can, you so can,
to share with Mahoney, and she just.
Did you see the
moment where you're like, whoops.
No, it's more than okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yes, when it comes to tequila, what is your like brand of choice?
Okay, so Casamigos, because hey, George Clooney, what up, boy?
Didn't he just sell that?
Did he?
For like $1 billion?
Oh, yes, actually, yes, he did. Yes, that's
him and Randy Gerber.
It made him one of the highest paid celebrities of the year. You're like, George Clooney hasn't even been anything. You're like, oh, well, that's
doesn't why. Need to at this point.
$500 million was his haul off that or something.
Yeah, but I just recently started getting into beer within the last, like, 4 years or so. So it's always been liquor. Like, that's kind of like what I like. Started like, I don't know, trying different types of vodkas, and then I realized, ew, vodka's gross.
Not a whiskey or a bourbon gal being
Kentucky girl? Yes, okay. But then I was at Keeneland 1 year, which is a racetrack in Lexington that's actually about to take over the Belmont Stakes. Okay. So it's one of the races you have to qualify for in order to get to the Derby.
Okay.
In Louisville.
It's a big horse race, but not the big horse race. Got it.
Yeah. It's more of like a party atmosphere, honestly. Like
it's like the Preakness.
Exactly.
Yeah, where everyone just does the running of the porta potties. Have you ever seen those videos, by the way?
Yes, and we have them at the Derby too, and they're gross. It rains every year.
They do the running of the porta potties at the Derby?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, really?
And it rains every year.
Okay. Yeah, and it's always just a hot mess.
Gross.
Everyone shows up dressed to the nines, and 45 minutes in, covered in shit.
Well, not in the Derby, though, in the infield. It's turned into more of like a tailgate, like just trashy tailgate. People show up and cut off shorts and like cut off t-shirts.
Like
and they're
it.
Like, we're out here to party.
Like it. Yeah.
So it's turned into a little bit different. But at Keeneland, I had been drinking bourbon. We were tailgating before we went into the races. And we came back out. And like, I'm drunk. I'm not really realizing that it's been like 105 degrees in the car all day long. You know what I mean? And so we get back in and I just say, ooh, bourbon. Dumbass 19-year-old self just turn it
hot
back.
Bourbon?
Hot. Oh, I immediately projectile vomited everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
So what's funny is that I had the same experience with tequila. I'm sure it was some shitty tequila, not like a good tequila.
Yeah, it was KG.
I was out at some college bar somewhere, and oh God. And I took a shot of tequila, and I remember it was one of my birthdays somewhere in the very early 20s.
Yeah.
It may have been the 21st, but I remember taking the shot and going to the bathroom and standing there taking a leak. And it was one of those college bars where, like, there's like an inch of standing piss on the ground. Like, it's just terrible.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Just dirty.
Like, and so I'm sitting there thinking, I don't want to vomit. I don't want to vomit.
It's going to splash back at me.
Yes. Yes. And this is terrible. Like, I will get some kind of disease. And I ended up not vomiting, but the you know, like when you have to puke and you do, and you're like, oh, I feel so good after doing this.
Oh, yeah.
When you don't, it is a horrific experience because you're just sitting there like sweating and like kind of shaking. And I was leaning on the wall because I just was drunk.
It's almost better to throw
it's
up.
It's way better to throw up. Yeah. Way better. And I didn't. And that was my tequila moment where I was like, ever since, I'll sometimes take a shot of it if it's there. And everyone else
does
is doing
smell,
it.
The smell doesn't make you
sick? The smell of it is what gets
sick?
Me. Yeah. Like, once I actually drink it, I'm like, whatever. But I can't do tequila. It's
for
just
me,
not for me.
It's Seagram 7. That was the very first time I ever got drunk, was off of Seagram 7. And it was one of those nights. It was my buddy's 16th birthday party. We were at a Motel 6 on Woodson Road in Missouri.
Please tell me. The bathtub was full of ice.
The bathtub wasn't full of ice.
You've been
in
one of those parties before?
It had a double sink. And that
double sink
was full of ice.
So when it's really a party, the bathtub gets filled with ice, and that
becomes you
put the keg in there as well as an assortment of beers. Yeah.
So we're drinking, and it's my best friend's 16th birthday, and why his mom got us two hotel rooms when he was 16.
Because she was trying to be the cool mom. Because she
as
wanted him to be the cool kid.
As long as you're doing
kid.
It in the house.
We weren't doing it in the house. We were at a Motel 6 in a
was
sketchy ass part of town.
Was she nearby?
No, she was at home. She got us the rooms, and then we just kind of went and did our own thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad
that's
mom.
That's a terrible mom.
Yeah.
Terrible mom.
So we're there.
Hello, party, though.
She's
I'm sure.
Listening.
Yeah. No, she's not listening.
Listening, Kathy.
You're awful. She's not listening right now. But we were drinking, and I had a friend who was like 300 pounds at the time. And, you know.
16?
Oh, he was, I mean, he's 6'4", so, you know, he's like an offensive lineman.
But still.
Still big boy. Yeah, and I weigh, you know, I'm 6'4", but I weighed 170 pounds mm-hmm. at the time. And he and I are drinking this bottle of Seagram 7 just straight. We're just going back and forth on it because you don't realize, like,
liquor,
what your tolerance is. And there's girls all around. And you're like, you know, so you have that, like, that kind of like extra layer
you're
of like trying
off,
to impress.
Not only for your buddy, but also for the chicks.
Yeah, because you're trying to hang with him and all that. And we finished off, I think we finished the bottle.
Oh.
And especially like when you've never really drank before.
Is it weird that just the story is making my stomach turn a little bit?
I can smell it, and it makes me sick. Ended up spending the night. They ended up like laying me over the like luggage rack. You know, like they have in hotel rooms, and like putting the trash can under because I kept just vomiting like nonstop for the rest of the night. But the best part is, so
please tell me the luggage rack closed on you.
No, I don't know what happened. I woke up in the morning, everybody was gone. It was me, the buddy I was drinking the Seagram 7 with, and our other best friend, who was his 16th birthday. He woke up the next morning in the shower with somebody else's boxers on.
Oh my God.
Which we were trying to piece together how that happened. And still, you know, 20 years later,
you could have brought
probably
in
pissed
the...
himself, and then somebody was like, dude, just take these. Dude, just take
maybe.
These.
But like, would somebody be like, I'm going to take off my boxers and
give
them
enough,
to you?
You're drunk enough. I don't know. Weird logic happens
like,
when you're drunk.
I feel like you could bring in the world's best detective, like a special counsel like Robert Mueller, and he wouldn't be able to figure it out.
We know that they at some point they threw him in the shower because he was crying because he was so drunk.
That's why moms, if you want to be the cool mom, you don't get your 16-year-old two motel rooms because they're going to end up crying in the shower.
And then somebody turned the shower on him.
Oh.
And so he
probably
was.
That actually makes more sense. So if all of his clothes got drenched, somebody's like, I'll give you my boxers.
But still, just a weird.
Why do they put them back in the shower?
I don't know.
Why would you just give them your pants? Unless they didn't. Unless they just didn't
should have
to
stripped him down
with
before.
Panties.
Yeah.
But that, even to this day, the thought or the smell of Seagram 7 makes, like, even saying the name, like, saying it makes my stomach churn at this point.
Is Seagram 7 gin?
No, it's like a, it's a bourbon or some sort, right?
Everyone has 7 and 7, so that's the
So
that's
that Seagram is, yeah, it's like a it's Canadian.
Like a Canadian bourbon or something, probably.
Yeah, it's a whiskey. Okay. It's Seagram 7, now Crown Whiskey, but,
Crown.
It's not Crown, but they're saying it's Crown Whiskey, Seagram 7 Crown Whiskey, 40 proof. So I mean, it's not like through the roof,
but 40 proof will still like
wreck you.
Yeah, a couple of like you know small glasses of 40 proof something.
You figure
will give
what,
you a good buzz.
You
right?
figure like what a half a bottle of a half a fifth is what 8 shots, 7-8 shots.
Yeah, and at 16, 17 years old, disaster.
What was your first drink that you've ever had? Like
with liquor. I remember the first one that I got sick off of, and it was Crown Royal. We went over to a friend's. It was my freshman year of college, and I pretty you know, as far as high school went, never really drank. Went to like a private Christian school, very religious parents. Like never really got into a lot of trouble when I was in high school. Went away to college my first year, and of course did normal college stuff. I remember the first time I smoked weed, and I swore that I smoked weed all the time.
Did you get high the first time you smoked weed?
Yeah, I got so high I vomited.
The first time?
I threw up,
I didn't get high the first time I smoked. Maybe because I didn't know how to inhale.
Inhale.
We were in a dorm room.
I hated people like you. I didn't even get high.
I didn't. No, the second time I certainly did. The first time I didn't, though.
We were sitting in the dorm room, and I took a couple of hits of this joint. It was like one of those really poorly rolled joints,
too.
Yeah,
loose and just flapping everywhere.
I'm just like, oh, I know how to do this. And I took a couple of hits, and then I was just sitting there like paralyzed. And I still get that way when I smoke weed today, all these years later. But a friend of mine looked over to me and goes, man, you're green. I said, what? Because it just sounded like, you're green. And I went over to the little mirror in the room. Yeah, because they had a sink in there and a little mirror and all that stuff, as dorm rooms do. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm green. I'm like, and as I'm looking at myself, and I'm pretty sure I stood there for like 40 minutes staring at myself. Just like, wong, 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 wong. I was like, I'm going to throw up. And luckily, it was the bottom floor, and he had the room at the end of the hall right by the exit.
Okay.
And so I just ran out like, bah!
Could you imagine smoking weed for the first time with the kind of weed that is out
now?
Oh,
right.
God.
Like, this was nothing but like seeds and stems and just like terrible water, terrible weed.
Yeah.
And my friend's like, I thought she smoked weed all the time, man. I'm like, I do not. I was lying. Same year. freshman year of college. And we went over to a friend's house, and it's his parents' house, but his parents are out of town. And so he's like, I'm going to break into my parents' liquor cabinet. And so they busted out this bottle of Crown that was from some year in the 80s. Like, it had been there forever. I'm sure it was probably like a collector's for them, like from their college years or something. Yeah. I don't know. Who knows? But they had this bottle of Crown, and they're like, we're going to open this. I'm like, that sounds good. And I drank enough of it where I got to the point where I was sitting in the living room. And this is like, there's three dudes. This isn't like a cool rager or anything. There's like three dudes sitting around watching basketball, pounding his parents' Crown. And I'm sitting there, and I distinctly remember, you know, like the vivid moments that you remember in your life where like you remember exactly what you're thinking, mm-hmm. the color of this blue recliner, everything about
those memories that are seared into your brain.
This is one of those memories because I remember thinking, if I don't get up, I'm going to puke all over the recliner, but I'm so drunk that I can't get up or I'll puke. Shit.
Oh, no.
What do I do? And so my answer was to turn to the side and vomit all over the floor of his parents' living room.
Was it a carpeted room?
It sure was.
Ah, nice.
Even better. I missed the recliner, I think, and all over the carpet, and I just leaned back and went, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And my other friend's like, dude. And he picked me up and, like, arm over the shoulder, like, carried me down to his truck. Which is one of those weird Jeep Cherokee trucks. Have you ever seen one of those where it's like it's a pickup truck, but it was a Jeep Cherokee?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, huh. He had one of those. Puts me in it, and we drive back, and that's all I remember from the night. But ever since, not a drop of Crown Royal. Won't even go down the road again.
What is the one liquor for you that you will not touch?
Four Locos.
Oh, my God.
Why? What was your experience with Four Locos?
So were you in college at the time when, like, Four Locos were the thing?
I was. I mean, I'd been drinking, seriously, like, before that, and I've got a couple of really great stories from before that. But Four Locos are those things that are, like, ingrained in my mind that are just so terrifying. Like, I can't even believe they were even a thing.
They're not a thing anymore. I mean, you can still buy Four Loco, but
not
it used
how
to
they
have,
are.
It used to have all of the caffeine and all of the booze, and then they actually had a couple of politicians come after them because – There were a couple of kids that, like,
died
on them.
Yes. Well,
there was that whole party that was so dumb up in, like, Washington that was cutting Four Loco with, like, rum.
And, like, Everclear and everything else. Yeah,
and, like, and they thought everybody got drugged, and it's like, no, all you idiots
It's just a bunch of uppers and downers together, you know?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So one of those, actually, I was looking on Facebook, hilarious, we were talking about, like, I have this time hop thing that popped up, and all of my pictures that were coming through from Halloween had me my freshman year holding a Four Loco in all these different outfits. It's like, here I am, Four Loco. Here I am, Four Loco. Here I am, Four Loco. But one of those, we were at they did this like EDM weirdo thing. And I say weirdo because it's not even like what it is now. It was just like laser beams and like bunches of bass and a ton of college kids smacked in a room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I remember just like, drinking this Four Loco and being like, this isn't okay. And I just like went to go sit down and I literally sat down. And the next thing I know, I had like slipped and fell like in the middle of the street. And I'm just laying in the middle of the street. I'm like, okay, this is it. I'm going to die now. And that's it.
How long were you in the streets?
Who knows? Who
knows? Oh, boy.
So won't ever drink Four Loco ever again. Yeah, like literally just woke like was like in the middle of the street like, oh. Tight, cool. This is good.
This is the end.
this is how I put this on my tombstone.
What a run.
Here she lies. Literally.
Beloved daughter. Four Loco lover. Oh, man.
The worst hangover I ever had was a Four Loco.
Yeah. We actually did a Four Loco challenge on the morning show when the whole thing. Well, yeah, because we knew that it was getting outlawed because they said that, we're going to remove it from the shelves as it is now and everything else. So we're like, well, we have to capitalize on this opportunity.
We had never tried it before.
And so we were doing, beer for breakfast dates back to the very beginning of the morning show, almost 10 years now. And one week we decided to do the four Loco challenge. And Mahoney got
this
through.
This is on air, though.
Yeah.
You drank four?
Almost a full four. Maybe like three and a half.
Three and three quarters.
By the end of the show. But it was almost to the point where he had four of them. And pretty much right after the show ended, he went into a production room that has a window to it. And he was sitting in there doing.
I'm sweating, like, thinking about it.
He was doing a promo, and I look over and I'm like, what is he doing? And then I realized he has fallen asleep sitting up straight. And I go in there to wake him up. I'm like, hey, man, what are you doing? He's like, hammered, but very alert because
Caffeine,
right? And so he'd passed out, but then when he woke him back up, he was like, I'm ready. And so he's like, it's time for the promo meeting. And so we go to a promotions meeting, and the general manager of the radio group is in
there. Brand new one, too.
Along with all of the rest of the staff. And Mahoney has got ideas.
Those are great ideas.
He's
got
to just share these ideas. And it got to the point where the GM goes, Dave. I go, yes, sir? He goes, get him out of here. It was the only time, I think, in life that I've been kicked out of a meeting. And so I took him out of there, and Mahoney goes, I'm driving home. And I'm like, no, you're not. He's like, yes, I am. I'm like, I'll tell you what. I'm like, I'll drive you home. Why don't you just go lay down in the office for a couple of minutes, and then I got to finish up the promo that you didn't finish because you passed out sitting up, and then I'll take you home. And he's like, all right, man. All right. And he goes to the office, and he falls asleep.
On a pile of T-shirts.
On a pile of T-shirts so hard that I can't wake him up when I try, but I take his keys to make sure that he can't drive.
Right.
And he didn't wake up for a day and a half.
It was like 8 hours. I was hungover for 2 days straight. Yeah. Like a straight 48-hour hangover.
Yeah, I left him at about noon because that's when all the stuff had wrapped up. And he didn't wake up until like 8 or 9 o'clock that night. And I remember him calling me. He's like, hey, man. Where are my keys? I'm like, I have them. I'm like, you want me to bring them to you? And he's like, yeah. So I feel like most people that have a significant amount of experience or a really powerful one, like Mahoney did with Four Loko, have some good stories.
Yeah, I'm good on that ever again. You know, that's why I fear for like the next generation. I almost want, because I don't think our parents, like I know mine certainly didn't, and I don't assume that yours did either, kind of like introduced you, because my mom really doesn't drink, and my stepdad doesn't drink either, and like a whole lot. And so for me, I wasn't really exposed to alcohol. I feel like maybe, you know, taking the more European approach where you're like trying to like introduce them to like good alcohol so they don't you know, like here's a bunch of shitty stag beer or here's a bunch of really crappy pop-off vodka.
You got to think like that alcohol has come a long way in the past 30 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, all of the dads that, you know, are part of our parents' generation all drank Milwaukee's Best Light or whatever, you know? It was always like a crappy, canned, domestic
Olympia
beer. And now it's like people, just in our generation, it's the first time, have really become beer nerds. Like, that's a thing, you know? And there's enough beer to do podcasts like this and to sit around and be able to try three brand new beers we've ever had that are all really good and totally different. You know, it's just... it's an interesting time, but I think that, you know, as a parent of two young girls, I'm definitely going to start them with Four Loko.
Is that the route
Aunt Audrey is going to be in charge of coaching them through it.
I'm really, really not the one to ever, don't ever.
No, not like actually coach them through it. Just be like, don't be like her. Do not
go fall asleep in the middle of the road. Yeah. You'll
whatever
die,
you do.
Annie. Don't do that. Shit. Whoops.
Yeah. Good times. Well, I feel like we should finish this.
Yes.
This fantastic.
Pretty much I've already finished mine.
Oh, so, you're done already. Yeah. Okay. Well, Audrey and I will finish the Bedrock Nitro Brown Ale.
That's all you.
So, you obviously, Dave, you're a big IPA guy, and you know we're expanding your horizons week after week. You know, but you've been drinking craft beer for 10 years.
Yeah,
we don't do a whole lot of browns, but you polish that thing off fairly quickly.
I'm not really a brown or a stout fan or anything like that. This beer is great. Yeah, it's very easy drinking as far as stouts go. It doesn't have that bitterness. There is a little bit of bitterness that hangs out, but almost like a chocolate type of bitterness.
It's like a cooking chocolate.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not the traditional bitterness that you get from a lot of the darker beers. I'm a fan.
Big coffee flavors. Yeah. And for you, Audrey, you're a big fan.
It's Aubrey.
Son of a bitch.
No, so we're going to rewind at the end of this and go.
Did you see him thinking? He's like, oh, my God, it is Aubrey.
No, it is not.
Wait a minute.
No, it is not.
Wait a minute.
How dare you?
Come
at you like a spider monkey. You're traditionally a stout and a darker beer fan. Your thoughts on this one?
I like this, and I will say this. Probably one of the reasons why you like this is that it's not, you know, whenever we pour these out, you always say it looks like motor oil.
Yeah.
It's lighter.
Yeah.
You can see through this.
Yeah.
It's not like a so potent that it tastes like one and you're done. You could have a couple of these.
For sure. And it's not going to fill you up. It's not going to make you feel gross if you have a couple of them. the thing with beers just in general for me is I don't like beers that try too hard. And that's the same thing that we talked about with the sours, right? Like,
yeah.
The reason I like the sours so much is maybe they tried really hard to make it seem like it's not trying hard. But much like athletes, like the ones that are the best at their game, make it seem easy. All of these beers seem easy,
yeah.
Even though they're very distinct and different beers. I love them.
I think that you don't like, and you know, there's like in a lot of things in life. You know, there are people out there who will not like things that other people like a lot of. You know, and you know what I'm saying? Like
hipsters.
Well, the hipsters, yes, they don't like they used to love sours. I feel like that's why sours kind of became big in the beer world because
now they love Tommy
Bahama. It was because so many people dislike yep. them at first, and
that's what's making Mahoney not love Tommy Bahama shirts.
No,
the hipsters are moving in.
I've invested way too much money in
the hipsters are squatting in your shirts. That's what's going on here.
Yeah, but the good thing about most hipsters, they're not rocking them the right way though.
I see.
They buy the extra, like when you go on the Tommy Bahama website and you're like looking at shirts, the extra smalls are the first ones that are sold out.
Really?
Yeah.
God, I hate hipsters.
the triple XLs, plenty of those.
I'll tell you what, if that squatter shows back up wearing a Christmas sweater or a Tommy Bahama extra small shirt, double the ass kicking.
I'll come over there with you. I'll help defend.
All right. Appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate you joining us again, Audrey.
Oh, thanks so much.
Did you do it on purpose?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. It was like a B and a D combined.
Audrey. Yeah, that was good.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, I really like this a lot.
It's
probably my favorite.
Are you getting a little drunk because you're sort of leaning a little bit closer to the mic and you didn't really finish that sentence? You're like, yeah, it was good. Like, I felt like there was more coming and then there wasn't any. You just kind of... All right. And with that, we will bid you adieu. Thank you so much for joining us for this installment of Beer for Breakfast podcast.
I just didn't know what else. Is it off? Is it off? Is mic off?
No. Still on.
Is it off?